Well, welcome back to Tech Days Online. So my name is Giles Davis from the Visual Studio team. We're here in the last session for today, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Bob Strudwick from ASOS, the CTO of ASOS.
Hello.
So it should be a very interesting session. So this one's around evolving ASOS to Azure microservices. So this is, Bob's going to talk more about this in a minute, but essentially ASOS have moved to a new digital platform, really looking at really getting hyperscale, taking advantage of Azure, and really evolving their use of Azure to support the growth in the business as well.
So, That's right. So
really looking forward to it. So I think probably a good place to start would be, can we have a little bit of background on that? So tell us about ASOS a little bit and what you're trying to achieve with that transformation.
So I guess if you started with the sort of mission of ASOS, ASOS is about being the number one fashion destination for 20-somethings.
Okay.
Pretty clear. And to give you a sort of sense of scale of ASOS as an organization, currently have around about 12 million active customers, 125 million unique visits a month, talking 100 million page views a day. That's up a scale. We just finished our financial year in September, and we're talking about $1.5 billion of revenue getting on for these days. So this is a decent sized organization that's grown over the last 15 or 16 years. So the sort of story of the new digital platform was one that sort of started around sort of 3 or 4 years ago. At the point, it was really sort of agreed amongst us internally that the software stack that we'd had, the one that had taken us from the first day of trading, was no longer the thing that was going to take us to the next stage of ASOS's growth. It was it scales. It was a decent platform. Don't get me wrong, but this, it was increasingly hard to innovate. It was increasingly hard to introduce new capabilities. So we took the decision across ASOS to start again. If you look at the big picture of starting again from an enterprise perspective, the place we started is in the domain that has most impact on the consumer, the impact on consumer experience. You want to delight the consumer, and that's where we started in this big journey. So the journey from 3 years to now has been about the design, build, and deployment of that new platform, and we're now 100% in production with our new digital platform, and we're raring to go for what is our busiest time of the year.
Well, yeah, absolutely, fantastic. So what were your design goals when you were looking at making this huge decision to start again?
It was really three main design goals. It needed to support global growth. So from a consumer's perspective, so you could interact with ASOS in your own language, with the payment options and delivery, the payment methods and delivery options that were appropriate to you, to that local market. It needed to be flexible. ASOS is an organization that wants to try new things and will back itself. So this is, we needed a platform that was flexible enough for the organization to introduce new capabilities. And we wanted it to be a mobile first platform, specifically, but one sort of more broadly that allowed us to sort of innovate in that consumer channel. This 20-something audience is an audience of early adopters, and we wanted the ability to be able to sort of react quickly to innovation in that domain. Conversational commerce, augmented reality, things that are coming down down the line and will soon be viable shopping sort of options for our consumers. So those were the sort of three big design goals, and I guess we made two big design decisions in support of them. The first was that we would create a microservice-based architecture. And the second is that we would target Azure as the hosting environment. Now, from a microservice perspective, though, why do we do that? Well, there's really two reasons. One was we wanted independently enhanceable services. We wanted to be able to innovate rapidly, in those across those services, so that, for example, if at any given time, let's say in the sort of payment service, it was desirable to really pursue cash on delivery options for the Far East, which are prevalent there, that it would be possible to put resources into that independent of the other services. So we wanted that, and we also wanted the independent deployability, so that we could deploy these services, in any combination across the globe, near to where our customer concentrations were, and with the appropriate system resources to give consistently high global performance. So those are the two big decisions. So why microservice independence of enhancement and deployability, and why Azure? Well, I guess there's sort of four main reasons why we picked Azure. The first was really about us being a Microsoft shop. So from a development environment perspective, language perspective, this is 99% familiar.
Natural fit.
99% familiar to the software engineer and architects that we had, and that was good. We were heavily bought into the idea of platform as a service. We want to, cloud services, SQL Azure, Azure Service Bus. These capabilities in Azure give us the potential for our software engineering capability to be directed at those things which bring competitive advantage, rather than the sort of commodity sort of functions of
plumbing,
virtual machine, maintenance, backups, and those things that per se don't bring anything to the party. We wanted global reach. So if you look at the 30 cloud regions that sort of make up Azure, talking about concentration of capability in the States, in the UK and Europe, in the Far East, and that aligns pretty closely to where our customer concentrations were, so it's a pretty good fit. And the sort of resilience capability of Azure as an operating system are built in from the get-go. They were part of the design, and we wanted those resilience capabilities. So that was really where we were sort of coming from a microservice architecture perspective, and from Azure.
Okay, cool. And so you've also got some big numbers in terms of like number of users and the stuff you mentioned at the beginning. What could you give us an idea of the scale of the solution you've got here? Yeah. So sort of services and from an Azure point of view as well.
So the sort of we're talking sort of 30 plus logical services. Yeah. So identity management, product, bag, checkout, order processing, payment. The things that underpin our consumer experience. That's the sort of service tier, and then the sort of other parts of this, the consumer sort of application channel tiers. You've got iOS and native mobile applications. You have a series of single page web applications for product detail, for bag, for checkout, and then you have SiteCore 8 based curated pages for homepage and category landing page and search. So that's the sort of broad makeup of the platform. And in terms of sort of implementation, so most of that service tier is deployed as cloud services, backed with SQL Azure. for some of the transactional services, for the transactional services, you'll see SQL Azure geo-replication. Yeah. And for some of the high volume services like BAG, you'll see also sharding capability there, which is sort of provided out of SQL Azure PaaS. And to give you a sort of idea of sort of deployment, sort of the deployment sort of scale, if you take say something like BAG, then that's been implemented as 10 large instances in two regions. So 20 large instances in total to give you sort of an idea of scale. Traffic routing handled by a combination of Akamai CDN and Traffic Manager routing traffic to the nearest service geographically based on the IP range of the traffic coming in. Okay. So that's a sort of sort of mental image of the platform implementation level.
So what would you say, what have been some of the main challenges you've faced?
Something interesting, I was thinking about this today when I was sort of knew I was going to come in. And I guess I'd put them in sort of three categories, I guess. There's a sort of the Azure ones.
Okay.
And those challenges are about the sort of greater degree of transitory failure that you have to sort of deal with. We've observed Azure Service Bus, transitory failures in there. We've seen a SQL Azure being unavailable for a few seconds, up to a minute. So the sort of things that you have to do is, we're using the transitory fault block patterns to sort of codify our retry regimes. We're using health check capability through Traffic Manager to make sure the services are available. So there's more available to you and more you have to do in order to cope with that higher degree of transitory failure.
You're thinking about things you may not hit on an Italian premise application.
That's correct. Exactly. So there's a sort of the underlying infrastructure. The benefit is you don't deal with patches. You don't deal with maintenance. But the other side of that coin is neither do you get to control it.
Right.
And how that lack of control manifests itself is a higher degree of transitory failure than you would have if you weren't in the cloud, and consequently the way that you have to design your software has to cope with it. Now it's not a bad thing.
It is exactly
you make the judgment, but it means that you have to do something that you didn't have to do to that degree before.
I guess
that's the first element of the Azure side. The other bit, I guess, is about really Microsoft as an organization coming to terms with the fact that how reliant everybody is on Azure as a platform, and sort of getting that sort of risk adverse mindset of doing maintenance. So it's possible to see an Azure-based outage based on a badly executed config change.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
We have conversations with the CAT team and our account team about this, and the truth is, we're not interested in beating anyone up, because what we see is, when these things happen, we see Microsoft taking it seriously, doing the proper level of post-mortem, and then doing something about it. But for Microsoft, this has been a journey too, to be the provider of something that its customers are 100% reliant on 24/7. And I guess the last part of it, which is to do with Azure as a sort of V1 product, is there is immaturity in some of its features. So for example, for us, auto scale doesn't scale fast enough in peak. So if you get a Black Friday type day, we do a push notification, traffic will spike faster than auto scale can auto scale.
Okay.
So auto scale for us is something that's okay for 3 o'clock on a Tuesday,
right,
but doesn't cut it in V1 for Black Friday. So
you're doing that sort of effectively manually. You're anticipating demand for those.
Yeah, we are doing capacity planning in the way that people do capacity planning. In combination with auto scale for the sort of peaks and troughs of our sort of regular shopping day.
Yeah.
You could point to operational insights. When we started, that was not ready for prime time. I think the situation is different now, but it wasn't then. You can see immaturity in say at the detail actually where things really matter. So for example, you could say there was a shard map manager replication issue, and it's a tiny bit of one element of one feature of PaaS, but it stops you doing what you want to do. And these are the things you expect, I think, in a V1 product. And what we also see is Microsoft being really responsive to, we don't think this should work like this. Okay. What do you think, product manager of SQL Azure? And you can have a conversation, with the product team and give your feedback and see them respond to it. So the truth is we don't have any problem with Microsoft's approach to this, but these are the facts of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess that's the sort of Azure side of the equation. The sort of broad cloud side of the equation is probably you are abstracted from the source of potential problem in a way that you weren't before.
Yes.
And that sort of drives two things. One is you have to invest more in monitoring alerting.
Okay.
And two, I think for us too, we sort of trying to recognize that problem triage, problem resolution is that you get the knowledge to do that under duress gradually. We're sort of trying to make life a little bit easy for ourselves with things like the complexity of geo distribution. If bag service can be deployed to two regions and perform and meet the performance and high availability targets, that is exactly what we're going to do, rather than have it in six regions, because that's six is better than two.
But
you have to sort of talk to the issue of whether you can really keep on top of that without the necessary experience under duress. So this is, again, it's like a trade-off thing when you're in the cloud. And I guess lastly, build automation is an essential part of high quality software, full stop. When you're deploying 10 instances of bag to two regions, you don't have a choice but to have a full fat build and deployment automation story. We've been investing in this for about 5 years, and it's never been as important as it is now that we have a decent capability. So we're on our second generation of tooling. So we have a Team City Octopus setup. We did around about 500 software releases in the last 12 months. So this is something that we have got good at, and it's just as well. And I guess I made one sort of broader organisational point. I made that sort of the idea about the sort of microservice architecture being one that sort of underpins flexibility and independent enhanced ability of your capabilities. But that comes with it a price too. There is an organizational price of the balance between sort of autonomy and architectural alignment, the balance between autonomy and release governance. And these things work themselves out over time, but they do have to be worked on. They consume cycles in the organization as you make those things work properly at scale with, we've got 50 software engineering teams now, and making that stuff work is an issue.
Yeah.
So it's a good issue, but it's an issue. Yeah, dependency management across the platforms, how you organize, the introduction of capability that requires the cooperation of multiple platform teams, each with sort of separate silos of a backlog, really. They've got the things that they can do independently themselves without, you know, that are sort of within the scope of that platform will be form one part of what they do. But there is very frequently, you know, the need for those platform teams to collaborate, and so they sort of need that sort of dual existence of a platform team working in a sort of across a program, for want of a better word, versus the things they do of their own volition to their own timetable is a sort of organizational way of working that you have to work hard at and make work in order for the sort of promise of the microservice architecture to sort of in that extensibility in the promise of extensibility, you have to work on realizing that through sort of, you know, playing nice and knowing when to knowing the because it becomes it's a people thing. It's how people organise and sort of interact. And
I can imagine there's a huge amount of challenges.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. All good though.
So I'm glad to hear that you feel that Microsoft are responsive around when we do cause issues in Azure and the like. But on a sort of perhaps on a more general note, how have you felt Microsoft has helped with this journey for you to the new architecture?
Well, it's been really one of the really most positive aspects of this whole journey for me. Over the last 2 years, the relationship that we've created with Mark Caesar's CAT team has really, and more recently with the high priority event team, has been one of the real high points for this for me. So it sort of started, I guess, with design reviews, where our CAT team came and we went through, this is our approach. And we didn't always agree. I remember some to and fro around the stock service high availability story. But with those guys, we have always tried to be transparent with our design intent. This is what we're seeking to get out of it. They have, they sometimes take a contrary view about how we should solve that problem, but they also accept that we carry the accountability for the software. So there's not been that many pitch battles at the sort of design level. And I guess since that point, then sort of the big events have been a joint performance test week, where we've run performance tests together and between our own teams and the CAT team, adjusted the configuration of the services. Should this be how many instances? Is it medium, large, small? How's our geo distribution going to work? And those sort of, because they get the story too, by the way, about the need to work up to a geo distribution model. They get that completely. So they've really had a seat at the table of what's our start point configuration. And it's felt to me always, these guys are going to be there in the high priority event team supporting our software through the big events, and it felt always to me important to give those guys an opportunity to contribute and ergo have some skin in the game of the software that we were taking into production. So that was, we've been through that, and then really recently we had a week-long resilience test week where and that was, everybody learned something there, because that was really about what levers, us really understanding what levers can you pull under duress.
Right.
So, deploying more services, that's easy. Changing a SQL Azure instance from P1 to a P11 under duress, that's hard.
Right.
So, the operational understanding of the levers that you can pull under duress was really important to us. And then the other aspect of this was really sort of doing risk assessment of, what happens if the compute tier goes down? What happens if the data tier goes down? What happens if the service bus tier goes down, because those things are probably more likely than, you know, EU North has gone. And so we did that sort of what if scenarios and tested our failover and resilience capabilities with those guys under load. And again, what they and what they've done for us all along the line here, from design, from performance testing, from resilience testing, is hook us up with product managers of the platform team, of the product development teams. So you know, we've had access to Azure SQL experts, and those guys have always been for us trying to give us the skinny on the difference between how you develop software under normal circumstances and how you develop software for hyperscale, and it's been super. I guess
an interesting question on the back of that is, what is the performance like so far? How are you finding it?
So the last big event was Monday. We ran the first proper in production test, and we had ASOS had a 20% off everything Halloween sale, and we ran it as a high priority event. So there was a team in Redmond looking at our software. And we had a decent day. We had our busiest ever hour. We, over the course of the day, the bag service, there was about 2.5 million hits on bag, you know, add to bag, remove from bag. We were running around 650 requests a second, and never went much above 500 milliseconds, above 500 milliseconds, maybe 2%. So we are pretty content with the performance of the service tier. From the web application tier, response times, median response times had gone down by about a second and a half. When we introduced the new platform, those response times didn't move at all during the day. And we saw average bag value go up by about 20% on the day. We think that may be related to the better performance and the fact that it just didn't degrade at all.
A really good experience for the end user. Oh, fantastic. So what's next, really? Where are you heading with this?
Well, I guess there's probably sort of within the sort of narrow confines of our digital platform, there's the sort of things that are coming are a more complex geodistribution model. So in the end, it will be deployed. Those services will be deployed more globally than they are now. So we have that to do. We're going to look at a migration of the cloud services to one of the new container capabilities. Okay. So we'll look at Service Fabric. We'll take a look again at Operational Insight. And lastly, we have the sort of PCI capability, and we're going to figure out what to do about that, move it into Azure, and address the how we're going to make that a secure PCI capability. And then more broadly than that, go back to the very start of the story of this is part one of a bigger journey. Then we just bought Microsoft Dynamics for finance. We bought Oracle Retail for buying and merchandising. We have a shiny new enterprise application integration technology. We bought Mule. And so we're going to be hooking up our new digital platform to those back-end services over the next 2 or 3 years. And lastly, we're going to make a bunch of investment in the data tier, in the data lake, and in the sort of data publishing frameworks that we need to industrialize the sort of publishing of consumer product and content insight into that digital platform, so that those the sort of data insights can be applied to the consumer experience. So we've got an absolute ton of work to do, but it's all interesting.
Yeah, sounds it. Well, thank you, Bob. I think that's been really interesting. I think it's great to hear a real world experience at scale. And trials and tribulations as well, and your experience with Azure. So thank you very much for that. Thank you, everyone. So I hope that you enjoyed Tech Days Online today as well. That was the last session for today. It's all on Channel 9. I think it should be recorded. So hope that was useful. And thank you very much. And I hope that was enjoyed by everyone. But thank you, Bob. So thank you.
Thanks very much.